from page 138. Chapter The Venusians. Are they Venusians? From the book, UFOs, A Great New Dawn for Humanity, of Enrique Castillo Rincon. On contact to the Venusians. Telepathic contacts had been prior to the meeting. Must have been on their lowered vibration state, adapted to Earth's vibration level. The day of the planned encounter, I got up early, protecting myself with a Ruana garment against the cold of the early morning. I took the tape recorder, said goodbye to Gloria, left at 4 a.m., and flagged a cab at the corner when I gave the driver the destination address. He refused to take me. A second driver took me to the main avenue closest to the mountains, by my paying extra. We arrived at the designated place, where I left the cab and walked up a small hill from which I could see the mountain called Cruz Verde, behind Montserrat. The meeting was scheduled for 5 a.m. I sat on a promontory, ness, and waited. The day was about to break. My heart was beating a little fast, but I was in full possession of my faculties. I had the chance to muse arid, even to philosophize about the impact that such an experience might have on me and the group. While in deep thought, I perceived a silent noise. Yes, the ship came moving slowly in my direction. I could not see how it had entered the forested area, flying at the level of the treetops. Compared to the Pleiadian vessel, this one was only about 16 meters in diameter, by 4 meters high at its center, where there was a transparent dome. While it approached, I noticed some strange rings at its bottom, which separated when it slowed down. I could see the vessel moving against the background of the forest. When the ship was about 30 meters away, I started my tape recorder. I heard a whistle similar to that produced by the wind against electric cables, which I remembered from my childhood in Costa Rica. My heart was beating fast. In a few seconds, I was going to meet the Venusians. What were they like? What was their appearance? What would be our mutual reactions? Art from the Meyer contacts to illustrate, same below, artist Jim Nichols. I would know the answers in a few more seconds. The sound decreased, and the ship started its descent into a clearing. As the ring separated, landing feet were projected through the opening. The noise ended. Daylight began to break the darkness. I pointed the microphone of the recorder towards the ship to record the sounds, even my steps on the ground and on the dry leaves. A hatch ramp opened, and I glimpsed some small legs without being able to see the rest of the body. I heard in my brain an invitation to come aboard the ship, which was now stationary on the ground. I walked fast and pronounced aloud the names of the commanders. Brother Yamaruk, Brother Orhian. While traversing the 30 meters that separated me from the ship, I saw several of them waiting inside, standing in a semicircle. I was greatly surprised. I expected them to be at least 1.70 meters tall. Not so. I realized that they were small in size, and this surprised me, because I had read George Adamski's reports, saying that the Venusians were rather tall, 1.70 minus 1.75 meters. Now I was a bit confused, but forgetting the subject, I hurried aboard, ascending the sloping ramp. The tape recorder distracted me momentarily. It was not working. The ramp was of a sandy texture, about 4 meters long. When I reached the interior platform, I was really surprised. All of the crewmen welcoming me were very much alike, all about 1.50 meters tall, but very human-like. I was about to speak to them, when I heard their welcome greeting, in perfect Spanish. Hello, Brother Enrique, is everything okay? I extended my hand and greeted each one standing in the semicircle. They were five. I asked, Orhian, Yamaruk. At the front was Arino, then Yuraka, Feeble, Barrows, Commander Yamaruk, and finally Orhian entered. All these Pleiadians he had met earlier on the ships. Goes on, at last, I was able to meet in person the one who had taught us the values of spirit. I was feeling like a hero, triumphant over evil. It was incredible that such an exalted being could be so human and similar to us. I embraced him, and on an impulse, I kissed him on his cheek. I felt surprised by my own action. He, holding me by my shoulders, returned the salutation. It was a timeless moment. All the others watched us, silent and smiling. Commander Yamura broke the silence and invited me to come in. I walked with him, and the rest followed us. I noticed that they reached the height of my nose, and I calculated that their height must be about 1.50 meters. At one side of the metallic hallway, an ample door led us towards the center of the ship. Individual and well-padded chairs awaited us. I observed around Orhian's neck a sort of necklace with some lettering and symbols that looked like runes. The others did not wear anything, such as stripes, indicative of their rank. Commander Yamaruk wore a smart, silver-colored, one-piece uniform. The rest wore light green similar uniforms, with several horizontal and vertical pockets. Their boots were dull silver with soft lights on their soles, which illuminated the floor as they walked. Their exposed hands showed a smooth skin, which I felt during our handshake and a brief contact with Orhian's cheek. They told me there were 16 crewmen, distributed on two levels and in the dome, each with different assignments. As compared with the Pleiadians, they didn't show me their engine or power source, and they did not disinfect me. The conversation started in Spanish, but they mentioned that they could speak several other Terran languages as well. The subject of the conversation was mostly the group and the results of the information received during the 6 months from December 1973 until the present month of July 1974. They said that they belonged to the same stellar organization as the Pleiadians, only that these were much more advanced in many fields. There were exchange agreements between the Pleiadians and Venusians on undisclosed matters. As the Venusians asked me questions on the development of the group, during the approximately 40 minutes that I stayed aboard, I began to suspect that they were carrying out some type of test on us, the nature of which I could not evaluate. The spiritual and missionic teachings, having a Christian flavor, seemed to me to be intended as a means of gauging the reactions of humans when faced with news of a serious, impacting, possible event at a planetary level, because our religious beliefs are so entrenched. I believe they purposely touched the point of our religious beliefs to estimate the reactions at planetary level, should they disclose that humanity was not created as taught by the religions, and show that all humanity will have to drastically change their values and actions in order to survive or else face certain extinction. I warn the reader, and this is only a suspicion, that these non-Terrans, who in the remotest past could have had a direct influence on our beginnings, might feel disappointed at the manner in which their teachings have been misused by humans, and how they have been utilized instead for gaining control of and manipulating people. By this statement, I openly beg pardon to all my friends who are or were members of the group, if they feel offended, but I have thought out this matter at length, and this is my conclusion. The stay aboard progressed to meeting the 6 crew members. They mentioned the arrival of a gigantic ship with a very important personality for an interview with 2 greatly evolved men from Earth, a meeting that was to take place during the following month of August 1974. I received the impression that after this meeting something serious would happen, such as World War III, but it was not to be so. I found the implications of this meeting very difficult to interpret. From the few questions that I asked, they sketched a very grim picture for humanity's future. By now it seemed clear that the time for their communications with our group was coming to an end. But the information already received had given me a clear idea about the future, both short and long term, in the political, military, social, and especially religious fields. Upon ending our conversations, they sent special regards to Brother Quiroga and his son Javier. These 2 had been able to establish communications with the Venusians, but for some reason were not able to maintain it. They also made a comment about the name that we would give to the baby that Gloria was expecting, and predicted that it would be a boy and would be born between the 23 and 25 of December, 1974. How could they predict this so exactly? They had approved our calling him Orhian Yamaruk, because Gloria preferred Yamaruk, and I favored Orhian. We finally reached an agreement, using the 2 names, with the approval of both beings. They also asked me to pay attention to the organization of the group, because something seemed to endanger it. Furthermore, I suspect that this something was to accelerate the phasing out of the plan. Apparently there was a more complete teaching plan that was for some reason cut short. This entire contact took place aboard the ship while it stood still on its legs at the landing site. The farewell was quite friendly and jovial, giving me a great deal of inner confidence. I felt privileged. Why not? I was one of the few mortals who can tell such a story. The ship took off after I had walked away from it a safe distance. I felt very nostalgic, and my eyes watered. I heard the barking of dogs in the distance, which were recorded on the tape. Once it came back to life, far away a plane became visible in the cold but beautiful dawn. I recorded with my voice my impressions about the encounter, and sat on the grass to meditate and regain my balance after such an experience. Now I am sure that the extraterrestrial presence on our planet operates according to, and obeys a long-range, specific plan, with all the consequences that this implies. The two universal opposing forces, good and evil, are confronting each other, and so far, there is not a clear winner. Later I will explain how perhaps the force of truth will prevail, just when everything will seem lost, as when in the suspense movies, the good one is taking a beating, but he remembers his honor, and thus gains monstrous strength, to defeat his opponent. In this way, the principle of freedom will prevail, and religions no longer will make fanatics out of ignorant people, depriving them of their identity and immortal essence. Asterisk 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 so from page 148, chapter 15, teaching from the stars, where they dictated him a clear cosmic lesson. This is then extract. Some believe that suffering inflicted upon you is only a means of God testing you. Here I tell you, suffering is necessary for men, a passerby in the planet, not as a testing by God, but as a purifying action of one's own errors, both present and past. Here karma functions, in perfect harmony, as a balancing law, with mathematical precision. Hence learn to overcome and you will improve your spirit without falling into the agonies that will prolong your suffering. Let me tell you this. On this planet called Earth, as a result of multiple evolutionary experiences, a new man is being created, who will populate this portion of the immense universe with the necessary components for his mental spiritual development, reaching new and high levels on his way to the universal knowledge of the great creative conscience. It has not been easy to take this step, but terrestrial man has shown some intellectual, scientific, and spiritual improvement. These attributes are essential for his perfectioning. We mention it, not to satisfy the pride of some or the vanity of others. We do it, because there are already some who deserve it, among you terrestrials. This process has advanced in a certain measure. We who have in our hands the necessary ingredients for your development, training, and improvement have taken certain steps, arrived at certain decisions, and taken into account certain faculties developed by certain terrestrials, who, in a quiet and exemplary way, have become true makers of this great change. We know them. We know of their search and sacrifice. We are aware of their great intellectual and spiritual development. In a way, we are surprised. A capacity for forgiveness and inner illumination has emerged within them, conditioning them for the coming changes. Some of these special men and women have already qualified. Many others are on their way, generating undoubtedly adequate momentum for the pattern in question to reach those who are intuitively ready to achieve the level of conscience of the truth factor. Consider well what we tell you, for we will not repeat it. This information must be correctly used and directed. You shall give it with some commentary to the true initiate on the search for truth. Utilize good judgment and act responsibly at the moment of delivery. Become masters of truth, be honest while informing others. The times are difficult and tough. Many will not understand. It is easier to reject than to check. Do not languish in your attempt to put in the mouths of those who need it the taste of truth. I exhort you to become the determining factors of the mental change. The religions have done what they had to do to survive. Now they are dying. If you try to revive them, you will be responsible for acquiring anew the virus of error, and for returning to terror and fallacy established as law. Do not waste the opportunity to advance in a tangible way, instead of advancing in the fake faith, for fear of losing your life. We offer you the crown of life. The new man has been born in your land, mutant through excellence, with desirable radiance, with inner sheen, with eternal voice. We are giving you, as law, love and understanding. Take them. Leave behind the old trappings that have brought you desolation and ruin. Adorn yourselves with wings of eternal brilliance. Be daring and brave while trying out this new flight. Do not repeat the mistakes of the past. Cultivate the new attributes of creative majesty in this golden dawn. The old man shall always fear life. The new man accepts and understands it. The new man knows and understands the need for death. All will experience it, whether they accept it or not. It is better, then, to know it and accept it. It is transformation. It is new life. Give, then, to whoever listens to you, to whoever reads you, the certitude of eternal life, but also the understanding of the majesty of death, and this way it will no longer be ugly or terrible to the eyes of the ignorant. Alleviate their ignorance as to the overbearing need for death. Give them light and consolation at the ends of their life cycles. Remind them about their own essence of immortality. Fill their hearts with beauty from your words, and elevate their souls with understanding. If you do not live and feel what I tell you, it would be wrong for you to dare to talk to others about something you do not understand. Be sincere, and your heart will be the one that will understand and do the talking. The greater the wealth of man's spirit, the fewer his material bindings. If you see men in elaborate garment with gold and silver decorations, eating elaborate meat, then you have already identified the false spiritualists, the religious men. They brag at their table, laden with succulent meat, luxuriously dressed, close to the politicians and the military, preaching false teachings, as if they were the true scriptures. Also there are false learned men among you, who attribute themselves titles valid only among the superstitious, but I can tell you that they have devalued the real and authentic teachings given to you through revelation, and have manipulated the manuscripts according to their whims and interest, like fake saints. Thus be patient and learn to wait. The fracture of all that was established as immutable laws near. It has already begun, but will happen in individual fashion at the moment of comprehension. In the face of the undeniable truth of reason, worn out and wilted are the arguments of the fools and the ignorant who claim that God gave them infallibility in the interpretation of the scriptures. Know them well and be sure to remember them, so that you will not be dragged with them to the abyss, where you will lose your right to reason. The force that leads in rightful exercise to truth is the mental force. Without this attribute, the student can become lost. Mental force generates the mechanisms that will allow you to discriminate the real spiritual intellectual from the false religious dogmatic, which annihilates the conscience of the investigator. Here he loses his capacity to understand, to interpret, to know. I warn you not to go in search of distant wisdom, that your search be clean and wholesome within yourselves. During your magical dawn, you were given the keys that would open, one after another, the mysterious passages of life, and of your life. Keep your search very present. The disappearance of conscience and the individuals who fake spiritual knowledge, who experiment with false interpretations through the senses, is a degradation of true knowledge, misinterpreted with obscure motivations. Such exists among you. But if your search centers in the true values of the spirit, in the acquisition of wisdom, you will be able to distinguish the false communicators of truth. They will be easily identified. These obscure individuals will never be permitted to match forces with those who challenge them, point them out, or question them. There you have them. Truth shall always be clear and lucid, bright and pure, in the mouth of its real interpreters. The false ones will not be able to give you the satisfaction that your spirit craves. You must be honest in your faultless search for knowledge, which will merit you the highest credential that man can obtain, wisdom. And if you use correctly the new knowledge, with wisdom and prudence, you will be in possession of the noblest achievement of the initiate searcher, the road to immortality. I exhort you to seek for these fruits without pause and without dismay. They will be achieved by those who do not disguise themselves with fake plumage or costume. Be it known that the law sets a time within time for the avatars, the beliefs, and the religions. All is linked to a space-time continuum, and during it, all must be fulfilled, according to laws known to us. According to this law, you will see how the wise man evolves and separates from the fools that encumber the progress of the rest. Nevertheless, those who listen to and communicate with their inner voice know and learn that the greatest conquest on the road of evolution is the one that gives them the security of being on the right track, without false pretensions of acquisition of powers or knowledge impossible to interpret. These special individuals, silent, humble, and exemplary in their general behavior, are wise and sound defenders of the truth. Do not forget what is most important for you. The knowledge of the law, this requisite is absolutely necessary to be able to enter the temple of wisdom, and to reach then the threshold of logic, leaving behind the old conceptions of what seem to be truth. There is nothing more precious that shines of its own, in the eyes of the initiate, than the truth. Next part on another audio file.